A moment ago, when I asked you to lift your hand if there was something wrong with you, some of you did like that, and a couple of did like that. There were several people that did like this. You know, hey, there is something wrong with me. And until we get to heaven, there's always going to be something wrong with us. And I want God to minister to us today and to really bless each thing that was behind the uplifted hand. And we know already that God is going to deliver this day. He's going to heal this day. But before that, we want you to listen to God's word. Do all of you have the bulletin insert? If you do, I'd like for you to take it out so we can look at this together. If you do not have one, lift your hand so we can get you one. Sil, would you get Angel 1, please? On the left-hand column, you will see God's prophetic word that was given to us this past week. On the right-hand column, you see what I would have given James. So now James is asking, where is mine this morning? Well, I said, you're going to get it when you come into church. We all will have the same thing. I want to divide God's word into five sections, each one being a separate paragraph. I want you to read it with me, and then we want to interpret this, preach upon it, and look at some of the scriptures that I think are very important. And then when we come down to the conclusion, we will let God minister to us, because of God's word says that his word will give life, and his word is health and healing to us. February 22, 1984, at 8:35, God gave this word to one of our body members. And would you read with me just the first paragraph? Secure your positions, my children. Take your places I have chosen for each of you, for the enemy is upon you. Your city and families are under the siege of the enemy. Take your positions. I have told you to be ready. Now, it may help if you could see, following that paragraph, a portion of a map. And you can easily see Monterey, but if you look closer, you can see King City. I want you to see, people, that we're just not beating the air. We are talking about some realities. That King City is under a siege, and the army is marching toward our city. You say, I don't see any army. I will not fight. The ostrich sticks his head in the sand and says, I don't see anybody, therefore nobody can see me. We who live in King City are under a siege. Now, we have been since the very beginning of our residence here, but the prophetic word says that especially now, increasingly so, the forces of evil have collected themselves to come against you. It says, your city and families are under the siege. Now, who fights the enemy? The soldiers. You are a soldier if you've given your heart to Jesus. You say, Jesus, I believe in you. When you were 9 years old, when you were 19, 29, or older, I believe in you. And when you believed in Jesus, something very special happened to you. You were sealed under the day of your redemption. You were sealed. That is to say, you were taken, you were set apart, and you were sealed, and you were commissioned. You were commissioned into an army with Jesus as the commander in chief. There have been days when I have been AWOL. Have you ever been AWOL, absent, without leave? The soldiers have come together this morning for the battle plan of the week. And the under-shepherd is giving to you the strategy of this week. And I look for the soldiers. And I miss, and I miss, and I miss, and I miss, and I miss. AWOL. Now, when the soldiers are in place to go forth into battle, each one has something very special to do. There may be a lot of infantry people, but there are some other people that manned the radios. There are others that man special guns. There are others in strategic areas that are taking down special data that comes their way. And so all of you are in this army, and you cannot say, I am not important. For the smallest person that I see, Shanice, is as important as any one of you. Now, would you turn in your Bibles? First of all, make a correction on the paper. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. It's not Ephesians 6, 15 and 16. That's the upper right-hand corner. What is your position? Ephesians chapter 4, it is, verse 15 and verse 16. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As each part does its work. Now, we are the body, but from him, meaning Jesus Christ, we are joined together. You know, we are brothers and sisters. We are joined together, and we are held together by every supporting ligament. Now, the thing that holds together blood relatives is the fact of a lineage, the family line. The thing that holds you together with the one sitting next to you, before and after you, is simply Jesus. Holds us together, every supporting ligament, and we grow, we build ourselves up in love, preferring one another in love, as each part does its work. Each part has got to do its work. And if the person doesn't do the work that's supposed to do the work, then the body's not going to function. My van's got four wheels. If one wheel decides it's going to be just AWOL and just get rid of all of its air and go flat, then the other three cannot function properly. The other three have the spirit. They've got, that is, the life. They've got the breath, the air in their tire, but they can't function because they are being hindered by a deflated member of the tire family. If you are deflated, you hinder the body working. Now it says, as each part does its work. As each part does its work, we're going to see people, the deliverance. We're going to see people, the healing. It will just be. It will be. Your family is under siege. Your family is under siege by drugs. It's under siege by alcohol. It's under siege by squabblings and fightings and rebellions and illnesses and problems and financial difficulties and marriage disorders. You are all under siege, and these things are of the enemy because Satan wants your family broken and divided. He wants this church broken and divided. And so he is sending the troops in. And people, you don't have to get binoculars and look down on Highway 101 North. You don't have to have binoculars and look down Highway 101 South or the other roads that come into town. All you've got to do is open up your eyes, and you don't even have to have 20/20 vision because we can see the enemy has penetrated the city limits. Has come into the city. Last week I wanted to send a news release to the Rustler. I was going just to send this news release. Secure your positions, my children, take your places. The city is under siege. I still may do that. I didn't want to put anybody's name or any church name. It is a news release. People, it is news. Now read the second paragraph with me. I have heard the cries of my needy ones. I have heard their cries for help. I have said at the acceptable time, I will hear and act on behalf of my needy, desperate, and lost children. This is the time. Now is the hour. My army has been set into place. Now, I tell you, go forward as into battle, for indeed you are in a battle. You're in a battle. But where are our wounds? Where are our battle scars? Jesus went into battle and had them all over his body. Where are your battle marks? Stories told of a guy during World War I. He was talking to somebody and he said, I have been in the battle and I have suffered three great wounds. And he showed one of the wounds. And the friend to whom he was speaking said, well, where are the other two wounds? Tell me where those wounds are. Let me see those wounds. And he said, oh, well, they weren't very bad wounds because they were sent by, and the words at that time was by spent balls. And what he meant by that was that the balls didn't have any force, didn't have any power. The shells did not affect him very much. He just got hit by them, and he just like a mosquito bite. But he said, I've got those three wounds. When the battle is acknowledged, you're going to get some wounds. It will be so fierce that, like one guy said, before God, there is no rear to this here battle. There is no rear to the battle because we are under siege right now. Take a pencil, take a fountain pen right now, would you? Before you in the pew rack, in your purse, in your billfold, pull out a pencil right now. Pull out your fountain pen right now. I want you to take the pen, the pencil in your hand. I want you to prepare it for writing. And then I want you to pick out one of those demons that's on the left-hand side of the paper where the caption is, each one of you will give me a breakdown of progress in your field of responsibility. Now, we are talking about an army that is so highly structured, each got a field of responsibility. Now, with your fountain pen or pencil, choose one of those demons, and I want you to put down your street address. Write down your street address above the head of one of those figures, which represents a demonic force. Now, after you have done that, I want you to look at it. I want you to see that there is Satan who has commissioned a special demon against your family that lives at your address that you've written down. I want you to see this, that we're not just taking up time. People, we're talking about life and death things. Your family is under siege. Don't disbelieve. Now turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. The armor of God to the soldier. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, the entrapments, the enslavements that are going to your family. Now again, we equate this to illnesses, family disorders, difficulties of all kinds. The drugs, the alcohol, the fightings, the illnesses. These are the devil's schemes. Verse 12, for our struggle, for our contest is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers. Some translations have the cosmic powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, the prophetic word said, hold your positions, my children. Your family is under siege. I tell you, he says, go forward as into battle, for indeed you are in a battle. So we put on the armor of God so that we will not be hurt. We put on the armor of God in a very defensive manner as well, going forth. For in verse 14 following, we stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Notice, in place. Righteousness cannot be in place, people, if there is unacknowledged sin. If you don't acknowledge your sin, then the breastplate of righteousness cannot be in place. Oh, you've got it, but it hangs crooked. It exposes part of your body. Put the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the gospel of peace. How can your feet be fitted if your feet don't fit? How can your feet fit unless you ask God to do some corrective surgery? Speaking figuratively of our feet, representing that's what we stand in. If we are standing in error, then we cannot have our feet fitted so that it will fit very properly in place. Have your feet fitted with the gospel of peace as a firm footing. In addition to all this, verse 16, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit, which is using your prayer language, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. You pray in the Spirit on all occasions. What kind of prayers? All kind of prayers. What kind of requests? All kind of requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. Never get tired of staying awake. So God puts some people on the foreground, and they are there watching. But as a sentry, they may get sleepy. The disciples fell asleep several times. You cannot fall asleep. Never get tired of staying awake, because these fiery darts are going to come. Now, any missile that has been hurled toward you has great force and great power, like a javelin, like a spear, like an arrow, like a stone flung from a sling. And these fiery darts can very easily start a fire. That is why when people had shields of days gone by, they would coat them with protection so that they would not catch on fire. If they were brittle, now hear this, if they were brittle, a fiery dart would catch on fire. So they would anoint it with oil, as if it were. They would put oil on it so that it would not be combustible, because there would not be that much oil, but the oil would keep the shield soft and pliable. And so when the fiery darts came, they would not catch the shield on fire, because many people would go out into battle, they would lift up the shield, the fiery dart would hit it, the shield would go up in flames, they have to drop the shield, they're exposed, then they get it. Paul is saying, you've got to take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, this war that started on the kingdom of the world started a long time ago, but it's being intensified by people who, like you, are daring to stand upon what the Word of God says. That is why your families are under siege. That is why the church is under siege. Why would Jesus give us the armor of God if there was no battle? If there wasn't a battle, why not just put on the white robes of righteousness and just go around and sing happy songs and do that? He's given us armor because there is a battle. And the Word says it's coming in right now as never before. And people, you disbelieve it if you wish. But if you disbelieve it and if you don't do what we're suggesting here by the Word of God, your family is going to really suffer. The battle is fierce. Now he says in the next paragraph, read with me. Do not disbelieve what I speak to you this day. My people are under siege. They are all taken captive by the enemy. Get up and fight. Hold your positions. The battle is raging. The battle is fierce. The enemy lurks in the shadows, seeking for someone to devour. Be on guard, ever watchful in prayer. Use the weapons and the power I have given you. Step out and fight the battle, my chosen ones. We're in a battle. Many will agree. The others will disagree. I think that I'm just like Noah. The flood is coming. It's getting closer. And the rain came. I think of the Titanic. That ship that went down, Noah had his problem in B.C. 2253. 1912 A.D., a warning was unheeded. Second Officer Light Toller of the Titanic told the Senate Investigating Committee that Captain Smith and the other officers expected to encounter ice at 11 o'clock on the Sunday night of the disaster, or 40 minutes before the ship struck, that Captain Smith showed him a message of warning. He himself worked out the probable position of the ice and in turn warned Chief Officer Murdoch. But they disbelieved. Warning unheeded. People, the Word of God came and said, "Do not believe what I say to you this day." And he says, use the weapons and use the power. The power that we've been given are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all of them that are listed. The ones listed in Romans chapter 12, let me read them to you. Romans 12, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belong to all the others. We have different gifts in this army of which we are a part, according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, this is giving, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. But there are other gifts, like the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, 9, 10, and 11. To the one there is given through the Spirit the ability to speak with wisdom, to another the ability to speak with knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he gives them to each man just as he determines. And then the list continues in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, and some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Why? What's the bottom line? To prepare God's people for work of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. To prepare the people for the battle that we're in. So he says, these are, the word was, use the weapons and the power that I've given you. Power being interpreted the gifts, and the weapons, number three of them. Read number one out loud, would you? It is what? The name of Jesus. Number two, the blood of Jesus. Number three, the word of God. These are the weapons that we have. There is power in the blood. The name of Jesus is so sweet. And the Word of God. Now, the battle has started, people, long ago. The battle's not new. What's new is that it's now hit you full as never before. Now, to graphically illustrate the battle, look at the third logo, or the third illustration on the first paragraph, on the first column. You see the earth right there in the center? Now the caption is, they, that would be the demons, were booted out of heaven and given a new location, the planet Earth and the atmosphere around it. And if you just can look for a moment at the atmosphere around, you can see all those black splotches. Some of them have wings, some of them have faces, undistinguishable. The atmosphere is full of demons. And these demons now, and since the beginning of time, for their sake, being thrust out of heaven, are wanting to go into people, which they do. They've been given the atmosphere and they've been given the earth. Now read with me the fourth section of God's prophecy. How completely do you desire to possess the land? Are you ready this day to lay down your lives for the cause of Christ? Are you ready this day to lay down your lives for your fellow man? Are you ready? I am calling you forth, my children, into battle. Are you ready? For the battle is at hand. The Lord God saith, he shall sift his children like wheat, and they will go through the fiery furnace. For all that can be shaken will be shaken, and that which cannot be shaken will stand. How completely do you desire these things? How much is your dedication? When you go under the services of our country in any one of the four major branches, you give an oath. You lift your hand and you say, I will defend my country. When you became a Christian, you accepted the lifted up hand of Jesus with the nail print in it. And you lifted up your hands saying, I will not keep one hand behind me, and as if holding a gun. I will reach out and salute you, Jesus. That's how handshaking got started years ago. You reached out your right hand because that's the hand you would keep the gun in. And you walk up to a person, you could smile, grin him, let your teeth show, but then you could shoot him. And so handshaking started by saying, hey, there is peace between us. I give you my right hand. God gave you his hands. And he's asked us to give our hands to him. Even lay down your life if necessary. So the word continues, the fifth and final paragraph, and read with me. Heed my words, my people, for I do not speak lightly. There is only truth and sureness in my words. Believe what I say to you, my children. My judgment has come upon this house that is mine. I will have a yielded and a submitted people. I will have all that I have purposed for my church. No man will receive the glory that belongs only to the Almighty Savior, healer, and deliverer. Heed my words, my children. Take seriously the words I have spoken to you this day. Be ready, go forward, possess the land. Amen. Your God reigns. Hallelujah. Heed and believe. Now you're saying, well, it sounds good. But when you go home, what are you going to do about it? Years ago, through a microscope, a Hindu was shown the germs in the water from the Ganges, and he was told not to drink the water anymore. The guy didn't like the looks of the germs wiggling around in the water, so he took a heavy stick, and he broke the microscope, and he continued to drink the water. And we do the same today. The Bible tells us the prophets came, they were killed because people didn't like what they had to say. And the same thing is today with prophets and prophetesses and those who speak prophetic words and pastors. The truth is here, and surety, it's the truth and surety. And what I hold here in my hand is God's prophetic word. People, this came from God, just like this has come from God. And just like the transcript that I have in my hand here that was given many years ago about the Titanic. And this is what the transcript reads. It was true. The second wireless operator of the Titanic said, in the first place, the Californian had called me with an ice report about 5 o'clock. I was rather busy. Oh boy, this guy was rather busy. And I didn't take it. Oh, I'm pretty busy. I got the roast that's got to be prepared and the plans for this afternoon and the things that I'm going to do tomorrow, you know, all of these plans. He said, it was just too busy. I didn't take it. They did call me again by transmitting it to the Baltic, which was the other ship nearby. I took it down as it was transmitted to the Baltic. About half an hour afterwards, I was doing some writing at the time, sir, writing some accounts on the table. I continued to work on the accounts for about 30 minutes. Then I took the report she sent to the Baltic. It was an ice report, so I knew it was the same she had for me. I acknowledged it directly to the Californian. It was that the Californian had passed three large icebergs and gave their latitude and longitude. I wrote it on a slip of paper. I handed it to the officer on the bridge. The question, did you make an account of it? And he replied, no, sir. If we make a record of all these messages, we wouldn't be able to make up our accounts. Bridge said he did not recall the name of the officer on the bridge to whom he had given the note. You see, Christians are so busy with their daily toil to take the warnings. And sometimes the warnings are in a sermon, sometimes the warnings are in scripture, sometimes the warning may come prophetically, sometimes the warning may come in prayer. But the second wireless operator of the Titanic said, I was just too busy to get all this down. And as a result, on that Sunday night, 1912, I don't know how many people lost their lives in that tragic sea disaster. It could have been diverted. Now, King City's under siege. It can be diverted in your home, not your neighbor's home, unless they take the stand you take. So we mustn't disregard this God's word. We must heed it. We must take it as real. I look at this map and I say, King City, that's not somewhere away. That is right here. I look at these demonic forces and I see 229 Carlson. There is one commissioned. And he's been told, give me a breakdown of progress in your field of responsibility at 229 Carlson. And I see this picture of the atmosphere of this earth. And I hear God's word. Secure your positions, my children. The battle is here, but you are the winners. Because we've got Christ Jesus. Turn, if you will, to hymn number 413. Would you please? Only those who have been commissioned into the army of Christ can read these words. Read them with me. From over hill and plain, there comes the signal strain, 'tis loyalty, loyalty, loyalty to Christ. Its music rolls along, the hills take up the song of loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. On to victory, cries our great commander on. We'll move at his command, we'll soon possess the land through loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. Then the third stanza only. Come, join our happy throng, we'll rout the giant wrong through loyalty, loyalty, loyalty to Christ. Where Satan's banners float, we'll send the bugle note of loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. On to victory, cries our great commander on. We'll move at his command, we'll soon possess the land through loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. Amen. Praise God. We will rout the giant wrong where Satan's banners float. These demonic influences coming into King City and are approaching your home have a banner, because it's just not one. There are many other forces that rally together against you and your family. But praise God, there is a banner over us, which is love. There is this banner. And people, when we turn our eyes upon Jesus, then we are in right place. Because you can't have your eye on Jesus and your eye on yourself at the same time. You can't have your eye on Jesus and your eye on other things at the same time. So we put our eyes upon Jesus. We look full in his wonderful face so that we can get fortified, so that we can become strengthened, so that we can take our place in the army, so that when in a few moments somebody like Angel comes forward and says, hey, I saw a demon the other night grabbing me, I want to be free, then we can with one accord, in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of God, use the weapons and the spiritual gifts, free him so he can go out free. Last night, he didn't sleep at all. He didn't sleep last night because he stayed awake, waiting and looking, anticipation of this time when you, the soldiers, would lay your hands upon him or speak defeat to those forces that are capturing him. But first, before we do that, we got to look at Jesus. Would you stand with me and sing, Robert? Would you put that overlay on? Mm-hmm.